Thank you, Ron. Yeah, the sound, that's probably being affected by drones. I'm just... Sorry, not really. They don't exist. Oh, so good to have you. You know, God is just so good. I'm excited about what God is doing and what is happening here. Let me give you a quick update. And then when we get to the end of service, Pastor Kim and I will be up front to pray for you if you need any prayer. We'll be down right at the altar here. If we can agree with you and pray with you, we would love to do that. It's a privilege to be able to do that. But as we're going forward, we've had some, you know, a little bit of setbacks and different things here. Not as much financially. We've all been faithful. I think you guys have been amazing. And so we're heading in the right direction. We're going to be, after the holiday, really starting to hit on those restrooms that we've talked about. So they're going to be picking up those materials, and then that'll renovation on those restrooms will start after the holiday. But we've hired an architect, you all know that, and we've paid about $2,000 already. So I'm just giving you updates. I mean, I think you should know you're part of it. You know, we're family. So it's just $1,900 something. Almost $2,000 that we paid already. I just got another bill, $3,700 something that has to go. But what we have to understand is this is what happens when you're going to build. There's nothing we can do to get around it or anything like that. It's just part of the process. And how many knows God's arm is not waxed short? Numbers 11:20. I mean, his arm is long. He can do all of that. So, you know, people ask me, like, how are we going to, you know, that... Well, you know, to me, I just go through my mind, and it's not a gimmick, it's just simple math. I mean, if I'm thinking, and our lights up here, if you notice, some of those are flickering. They've served their life. I met with a guy to redo some of the stage and stuff, and that will be coming up. I don't know the cost of that, and I'll, you know, officiate some of that. But let's just say we needed $5,000 for just right now for architect and whatever. In my mind, I'm just like, 50 people give $100. I'm not telling you to do that right now, so just so that you know. But I'm just saying, it's not when we all work together, it's not a big deal, right? Yeah, that's right, Pastor. Great, I'm glad. So I'm just saying, don't let numbers or anything, because see, that's a poverty mindset. And for us to go forward, we're not trying to, you know, we're not putting gold plumbing in here. I'm not buying a Rolls Royce. You know, your money's not going to me. And it's literally going for what we tell you it's going for. And so just be praying about that, and we'll see all that come to fruition. But we met with them once, the architect, and the drawings were good, but they were the building looked much the same. The entryway is going to be in the doors won't be on the side, they'd be in the front, and that's what we wanted. But it looked still like the same, and I don't want it to look the same. I want it to look different. I want it to look like people go, oh, because right now Marion really doesn't. We've been, you know, our church is 20 years old, 21, something like that. But people don't even, if you say True Life Church, I've heard of that. The Moose Lodge. Oh, I know where the Moose Lodge is. By Rallies. I know that. I mean, I love Rallies too, you know. I mean, those are some awesome fries. How many love ooh, boy. We need to go do that maybe after church. Never mind. But anyway. I also met, it's been a busy week, also met with Ohio Edison, and we are going to light up the parking lot after the first of the year. That's our goal, and so they're meeting with me, and they're coming, and they're, will, you know, so it'll be a little safer for everybody to get out to where they need to. Plus, I want the town to know we are alive and well thanks to Jesus Christ. And so that's the mandate God gave me for this year, light it up. And that being said, there's stuff that's going to be happening that's just going to be, oh, my word. This guy coming next month, he's coming on a Saturday. The service starts at 6. How many know that I said 6? Saturday at 6. And the reason I'm saying 6 is because we want the Lord to have as much time, if it goes till, you know, whenever it goes to, I'm okay with that. And then he'll be back that Sunday morning, because people are going to get healed and saved and delivered on that night. They're going to be wanting to tell people and say, you need to come to church. This guy is off the chart, and I got a promo. I want you to watch it.
Because I'm no longer the sinner who's connected to it. I'm connected to the vine, and through the vine, there is no disease, there is no sickness, there is no death. It is a flow of the life of God.
It was a promise. You'll never be sick another day in your life, because I'm your healer. I'm now your doctor. Come on, guys, think about it. The Israelites, all they knew was the medicine and the witchcraft and the sorcery and the occult of Egypt. That's all they knew. They didn't know God like we know God.
It's going to be an awesome service. I mean, he works mightily in healing. Just so you don't misinterpret that, he's not saying he's God. He's telling you that God is your healer. That's what, just so you know. So he was in a service doing that. But, man, I'd like to have one of those shirts. Just saying. Just teasing. It's going to be an awesome service. This place is going to be packed. Speaking of inviting people, so you want to invite them to that service, but Christmas, next week and Christmas Eve, there are invite cards on the guest table out there, on the guest center. Please take some of those and just put them where you know somebody will see them, or give them to somebody. Maybe think of, God, give me 10 people I can give those to. Just take, I would like to see all of those gone today. We printed those up just so that we could hand somebody, so it makes it easy to say, hey, if you're not doing anything Christmas Eve, it's just an hour service. Or you could come the 22nd. They're going to do the drama both services. But just come. It's going to be an amazing time. So are you ready? Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Good to have you with us. Praise God. And matter of fact, if you're watching, those that are online, Pastor Gary's administrative assistant said they are working to schedule, and we've been trying to schedule him for over a year, it seems like. But 2025, I'm sure we'll get both Pastor Gary and Pastor Drinda here, or one at a time, or both at the same time. But they'll be coming as well. And it's just going to be an amazing time. We have some other invites out, and we're waiting on confirmation for those. Again, we are here to do the work of the Father. We are not drawing back. We are going to light it up. And God is going to do some great things. We've been talking about a hireling mentality. We've been talking about all of just what we've grown up in the earth curse system, and how we knew church was and what it was about, or what we thought it was about. And so I'm going to take a couple minutes in review, if that's okay. We talked about the teaching of the earth curse system. This is just what's supposed to happen. And like what Chad said in that video, do you realize those Israelites left, and the Bible says there wasn't a sick and feeble among, I mean, they left and their clothes didn't even wear out? All the women should be going, that's great, except you like buying new clothes. I get it. But, I mean, just saying, God just kept them. He was their health plan. He's still doing that same thing today. We just don't jump in on it. And I'm speaking to myself too. I'm retraining my brain. That's it, because I've been raised in a hireling mentality in this system. And I have to rethink things. So we think this, we talked about last week, that everything is based on what we've done. We have a slave mentality. We're just, we get the wrong perspective. Remember we talked about the prodigal son, the younger and the older. The younger took all the wealth and went and then just lavished and got rid of it all and came back and said, in my father's house, at least the servants. And the older one was mad, wouldn't go in. I've been with you this whole time. You never did this for me. Both of them had a wrong perspective of the father. They had that hireling mentality. I've done this. Look what I've done for you my whole life. We have wrong perspectives of ourselves. It's hard to receive when we disqualify ourselves. I can't have that. Have you ever done, we talked last week about somebody says, oh, I love that. And remember I made up, well, you know how we got this table? We were in a car wreck and we got a settlement. And God rebuked me and said, why are you doing that? Or that's a nice outfit you have on. Oh, this old thing, I got it at Goodwill for $3. Because we didn't put anything with it, or somebody gave that to me, or whatever. We just can't say, well, thank you. We have to justify it because, oh my goodness, what would people think? We don't know who we are in Christ. We have to do something to get something. And I get it. Faith without works is dead. So there's that fine line. And we just, churches crossed way over and bleated stuff all in. Because we have to rest on what we think of what we did to get in, not what Jesus did. We have to do things to get things. Salvation, my folks, is a legal issue. It's the choice of the one giving the gift. When you choose Christ, it is legal. Every day that you've been saved, have you always felt saved? I haven't. Have you ever smacked your thumb with a hammer and thank you, Jesus, did not fly out of your mouth? Did it mean you're not saved? No. Does it mean you still need work? We all need work. But let's keep reviewing. We struggle with freedom because we don't know who we are. And we don't understand what Jesus really did for us because we think we still have to qualify ourselves. How about Jesus' mom, Mary? She's visited by Gabriel, the archangel, and before she was ever pregnant with Jesus, this is, you know, he comes down. You would think, you know, that's kind of startling, you know. But he didn't say, if you look at the account of that in Luke, he doesn't say anything derogatory to her. He doesn't tell her, Mary, you messed it up again. He doesn't say anything wrong. She's done. He speaks blessing to her. Just praise. He told her she was the most blessed woman, highly favored. And you know what the truth is? It's hard for us to receive praise, isn't it? I don't know about you, but sometimes it is for me. People come up, you know, I had people last week, that service last week, man, that message was magnificent. That was the word they used. I'm like, thanks. Because inside I'm like, oh. And then, you know, I put in this little catchphrase, because it's true. Well, God gave it to me. Or whatever. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, but still, there's got to be part of it where you know you just did what the Lord said and you helped somebody. Thanks. You're welcome. If they want to peel the onion back, hey, listen, I'm just doing what the Lord's telling me to do. But we don't have to be ashamed about it. We don't have to act like, I can't receive your compliment. You know? We don't know how to act or respond. If people were to tell you what you did wrong, we know how to respond to that. Let me tell you what you do wrong. You should be doing this, this, and this. And, you know, you want to go, hey, it's not my circus, not my monkeys. And I ain't doing that. And sometimes we justify that or, hey, they ask for it. You ever just want to rip something off because somebody asked for it? I just had that happen not long ago. Had a lady I hadn't seen in a while, and she said, have you gained weight? That's the first thing she said. The first thing out of my mouth I told my wife I wanted to say, and I did not. I wanted to say, have you been slapped? Because I'd like to fulfill that job today. But I didn't. God is working in my life. You know what I said to her? I said, yes, I have. And I said, I'm taking it off. Good for you. There's something else I wanted to say, and I didn't. You see my halo from there? Man, that was a tough morning. All day long, the enemy used that on me. Come on. I'm just being honest. You got to take that stuff captive. You got to understand whose you are in Christ. I mean, should she have said it? No, probably that's not very nice. That's kind of rude, but was it true? Yes. But I'm changing it. What if God would praise you? hard to imagine because our mindset already, because we think he's hard to please. I didn't cross all my T's. I didn't dot my I's. Because we have that mentality, we will never be good enough. The Bible says God is love. And perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that's awesome. That doesn't mean God won't correct you. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been corrected by the Holy Spirit? Had to go back and apologize or had to go back and say this? I know I have. Because he loves you. If you really are loved, you get corrected. I got corrected a lot. So my dad loved me a lot. The Bible says he forgives us and he inspires us not to sin, not to do that again. Because when Christ lives in you, you know what that feels like when you have that peace and the freedom. And you know what sin consciousness feels like. And you just want to get rid of that. The angel just gave Mary praise. And she received what God had said to her and what he sent. And she said, "Be it unto me as you have said." Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and the heavens opened up to him, and he saw a Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I said this last week, but I wanted to start back at this point. So if you're like, "I didn't hear the first part of this message," go back and listen to next or last week. It's free. Just go to the website. You can find it. Why is God well pleased? How much had Jesus done for God up at this point in his life? I can tell you, nothing. I mean, he didn't do anything as far as we know. I'm sure he was respectful to his mom and dad or whatever, but I'm talking about, did he cast any demons out? No. Had he healed anyone? Not yet. Has he really done anything? He has done nothing at this point. So why does God say, "I am pleased with you"? Let me say this, because he is his son. He is his son. You know, we've told our kids, no matter what, you are our kids. You are our children. We will always love you. Identity. Whose we are in Christ. Who we are. Is Jesus really Lord of your life? Is he Lord of all, or is he not really Lord at all? Let's look at the thief on the cross. And there are two of them. There's a nasty one. And then there's one that's not so nasty. Luke 23:40-43 says, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man," he's talking about Jesus, "has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." What did that thief do to deserve paradise? I can answer that one too. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Zero. Whose choice was it to get him into paradise? Well, number one, the man for receiving him. But two, Jesus offered it to him. Are you getting this? It's not really always your choice. You're like, I don't deserve this. It's not your choice. And this is Christmas, and there's things out there, you know, and women and men are totally different when we shop. Totally different. We are hunters, right? Dad, we're hunters. We go in, bag it, get it, let's go. Tell me what you need, I'll go in and get it. I don't see what they need. There's four different kinds. Which one do you want? Come on. You know, I'll call Kim. "Hey, I text you, but you didn't answer me." She goes, "I just now got it." Because we just want to go in, capture the thing, and get out. But women, you do it different. You go in. "Do you like this?" We don't do that. I'll put on something. When you were growing up in school, did you get school clothes? I did. One time a year. Hated it. Did I like new clothes? Sure. but I hated going to get school clothes because my mom made me go get them and come out in front of everybody. Hold your shirt up. Oh, my. I don't know. These are too tight right here. Turn around. There's like 20 people watching me going. To this day, we've been married for a long time. And she'll go, try these on. I'm like, I ain't coming out. I'll tell her I ain't coming out. Or if she's not there, she'll never see him until I bring him home. Because I'll look out, and if she's not there, I'll go, hey, you out there? If she doesn't answer, over. She's come back and said, hey, I'm out here. Too late. I already got one leg out, and the other leg's in the other pair. Nope, we're not. So, what I'm saying is, there's sometimes, like, if I wanted to buy her something and she would say, honey, it's okay. Let me just say this. It's not her choice. It's mine. I want you to have that. And unless you just don't want it. Are you getting that? God wants you to have salvation. It's his choice. Hell was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his demons. His choice is for you. Everybody in here gets to live forever. That's the good news. The bad news is you have to choose. You have to choose where you want to live, smoking or non. I want to live in non-smoking, actually. I want to live in heaven. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect as far as in the human, but according to the word, really, actually, the word says we can be stuff like that. I mean, but it's just because we let our earth-cursed rule, our senses rule us instead of our spirit, we struggle. I want to be more spirit-minded. How about you? We need to receive. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you called on the name of Jesus, were you sin-free? No. But salvation is still offered to you. But we didn't deserve it. But Jesus said, it's my choice. Do you realize when he was on the cross, he said these words, and you know what they are. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is making a way for the people that murdered him to be able to get to him if they change. Romans 3, 21-24, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely, I'd underline that in your Bible, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is saying because you have called out on Jesus and asked him to save you, legally, we are justified. That's so great. Legally, it doesn't matter how you feel. This is legal. The case is closed. Your sins are removed from you. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more. There's no evidence to be presented against you. You are free to go. It's a legal issue, justified freely. But what do? You don't know. The enemy plays on your rewind, doesn't he? You know what you did. You know how you've been. Condemning, and we condemn ourselves, and then we put our mouth all over it. We just start speaking. Life and death are in your mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's so important that you guard your heart. It's so important that you guard what you think and what you say because that's what affects your heart. We got to change the way we respond. I know I have to work on it. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's look at this story. I love this story. Matthew 20, look at starting with just the first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning and hired laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, saw some others standing in the marketplace, and he said to them, you can go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give you. So they went. Again, he went out the sixth and the ninth and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and he said to them, Why have you been standing here idle all day? They said, because no one hired us. He said to them, you will also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. And so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Underline that. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat all of the day. He answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? That's a great story. Think about that. It's told by Jesus to show us God's heart. It wasn't based on the time they put in the field. It was based on the landowner's generosity. Did you catch it? It's based on who he is, not them. It's based on the person that was paying them. The money that he had. And then he had them paid in reverse order. You know why I think he did that? Because the next day he's going to hire some more people, and the people that complain, he's probably not going to hire them again. But they agreed in the beginning, hey, will you go in the field and work for a denarius if you work all day? Yep. Isn't that like what we do sometimes? We get involved in something, then we complain, but didn't we agree to it? We get ourselves in trouble. We had people coming up, would you pray against this, pastor? Did you sign anything? Yeah, I signed this. Did you agree to that? Well, yeah, I agreed with it. Okay, are they doing anything different than what you agreed to? No. Well, you know, we'll pray God's protection and whatever, but I guess if you don't agree with it, get out. The popcorn's almost done, honey. My kids and my grandkids enjoy Kim and our estate. I like saying that. Doesn't it sound cool? They enjoy our estate. I have four kids, and I've got so far 5 grandchildren. And when they come over, they don't say this. Dad, Pops, Pots. That's what Arrow calls me. Can I have something to eat, please? I'll mow your yard. I'll sweep the floor. I'll wipe the windows. Please give me something to eat. Cinderella, Cinderella, night and day, it's Cinderella. We don't do that. That's not right. I mean, if Arrow wants an Uncrustable, do you know what those are? Boy, he does. He just goes over to the freezer because that's where we keep them, and he just gets one. He doesn't say, can I have an Uncrustable? He just goes over. The only thing that he gets is, Arrow, don't lean on the freezer because it pulls out of the drawer, and he's like, which one do I want? So he just gets one. I'm not saying children and grandchildren don't ever need accountability or responsibility. I'm just saying at Father's house, I don't want them to want. Does that make sense? If I have it, they can have it. If it's mine, it's theirs. My son-in-law is back there helping run sound and all of that. But I mean, if I have anything and he needs it, he will ask, but he doesn't have to. He can come over and just get it. There's no can that's like the honor system. Take what you want and just put in the can. We don't do that. Nobody leaves money. As a matter of fact, they all act like it's theirs. And it is. Their family. All my kids have jobs. They all make decent money. But for the most part, when we go out to eat, I'm just going to tell you, I buy. For the most part. There are times that the Lord tells me not to. Or just, you know, no, this time you need to this. Or the Lord will tell them, Dad, this is on us. God wants me to, you know. And so then I just have to listen to the Lord and agree with that. But if none of that happens, we're buying. And my daughters and my sons, if you try to send PK money, she'll send it right back. So they're finding out the secret is God told us to send it, keep your hands off of it. And then she'll leave it alone. But I don't mind paying. I like buying them things. I paid when they lived with me, and I still pay. I want to do that. You may be thinking, well, you don't have to do that. But I do, because it's not your choice. It's mine. It's not their choice. It's mine. It's Kim's. Like I said, there are times when I feel like the Lord has said, you know, or they have said, hey, God told us we need to do this. And I'll tell Kim, I said, we need to let him do it. And she'll be okay. Okay. We've taken, I don't know if heat is the right word, but criticism for, you let your kids live at your home rent-free, and there, you know, there'd be issues if sometimes, you know, maybe I'd have to, I've never charged them, but I mean, if the Lord told me to, I guess I would, but he's never told me to. Because why? Because they're at Father's house. I don't want them to have to worry about that. I'd rather help them get their life in order and get it right and send them off blessed. I want to teach them, and I want them to be accountable. But how many knows the world is hard enough? And there's lessons. If I could help them, why would I say, well, you go out there and just learn that lesson? Maybe on a small lesson, that's good. But on stuff, you go ahead and lose everything, and when you're bankrupt, you come back, and I might let you stay for a night or two. You know, we're not going to do that. I want to show them what God is saying. I don't want to go ask Dr. Phil. I don't want to ask Dr. Spock. I don't want to ask Oprah. I'm certainly not going to ask the current government. I want to ask God. What authority figures has God put in place in their life? How about dad and mom? Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody. We've all got opinions. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. Da, da, da. You know, we just came through an election. Some people are like, oh, can't believe Trump won. Oh, hey, I went through two terms of Obama, and I didn't vote for him either time. But you know what? Life goes on. We have to deal with it. God is bigger than government. Last I checked, the government rests on the shoulders of Jesus. So we just serve God and we start saying, okay. My opinion needs to line up with the Word of God. That's the opinion that counts. That's the plumb line that's snapped. At Father's house, there's no lack. I want to reflect what Father God is doing. Remember the double portion? It means more than enough. On the sixth day, they were supposed to collect enough manna. Remember when it just appeared on the grass? They're supposed to collect enough for the seventh day. Don't go out on the seventh day, because you're going to collect for 2 days on the sixth day. And they still went out. They're still, not everybody, but they're still, you know, people going out, and that was, you know, that was a whole deal. But they received a double portion. Then remember in the sixth year. So the seventh year was taken care of. They got the double portion. And then the year of Jubilee, there was triple, and you could go clear for like 3 years. Crazy awesome. How does God do that? See, we all need revelation because we limit God by our mentality. I've never seen that before. Okay. But if you can believe, could you not see it now? Or if you don't want to believe, you probably will keep on going not seeing it before. I've had to learn some things the hard way myself. But there have been people that came up and said, I will never have this, or I will never have that. And really the truth is, you probably won't. If you could never see yourself having that or being successful, you're going to struggle with it. Because our mindset, does God want you to succeed? Or does he not? He is for you. We need revelation. I need to grow in revelation. I experienced some things. I mean, when I met Pastor Gary, he started talking to me about faith, and I'd never heard it that way, and I was ordained in the Assemblies of God. Bless God. And I'd never been taught faith like that, and I was looking at Pastor, and we were becoming good friends, and I liked him, and he liked me, but we were miles apart in our thinking. And he started talking to me about I was a hunter, and he was a hunter, and that's how he started talking to me about deer hunting. And he said, I can show you how you can get deer every year. I said, I can show you where you can go buy a hamburger. Okay, let's go. And he said, you don't believe me. And I remember, and I told my kids this, and I remember telling PK this, I said, I remember looking at him, and he and I were just talking. We're sitting in my house, and I was looking into his eyes, and he wasn't trying to smoke screen me or nothing. I could tell everything he was telling me, he believed completely. He wasn't trying to exaggerate. He was just saying the fact. Here's the truth. I want you to trust me. And I'm like, I don't even know you. And so I started, but I could see it in his eyes. And something inside me said, this is what you've been waiting for. And so I said, okay. So I half-heartedly said, I'll try it your way. And things started changing. My life started changing. Things started happening, and I was like, I had never seen that before. When I believed and I sowed and I said, okay, I'm believing for a 4-point or an 8-point. Why would a 4-point and an 8-point run out parallel and run up to me and stop? I lived it. I'm just like, explain that to me. So if we're being a spiritual scientist, why does that happen? Sam prayed for a 10-point, and I said, no, let's believe for a 6-point. Why would a 6-point run up to me, turn around, and go, hey there, big fella? Well, probably a buck wouldn't say that, but you know. And the next day, and he didn't shoot that one, the next day he got a 10-point. I mean, I have story after story that I had no explanation other than what Pastor Gary had told me about kingdom laws. And it just blew me away. So now this is what Pastor was saying. He said he was believing God for the double portion. Well, nobody talks about that because, boy, you can't talk about money in church. We've already done that this morning. Because people will be like, oh, no, no, no. So he went speaking somewhere, and they knew he was a hunter. And the guy came up and said, what kind of gun do you want? And he said, we wanted to bless you with a gun. And he had been to Cabela's. You know what Cabela's is, if you're a guy. It's a man's store. Well, it's, you know, there could be female hunters as well. But, I mean, they have guns and camo and everything hunting, outdoor, fishing, whatever. And he pointed out a gun, and it was an expensive gun. Now, this guy wasn't with him, and he had pointed out he was there with Drenda, and said, I'd love to have that gun. And he didn't tell that guy. And the guy just said, basically, and if I have it wrong, Pastor can correct it when he comes. But it's close, okay? The same principle applies. But anyway, the guy didn't know, and the guy sent him the exact gun he picked out. He didn't tell the guy. The guy never saw it. He got the exact gun. He said it was an expensive gun. He got it in the mail the next week. So he's like, oh, sweet. Guess what happened? The next week, he got another one. He's like, oh. The double point. He got 15. 15. I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? And this is what he struggled with. He's like, Drenda, I don't need 15 guns. And he went to God and said, God, I don't need 15 guns. People will think I'm materialistic, that I just wanted the guns. I didn't ask the guy for a gun. They just started coming. Check this out. They had somebody speak at their church, and they decided to lease or rent or whatever a Escalade for the guest speaker so they could come and go from wherever they were at in an Escalade. I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, this sounds kind of carnal, but I mean, like, I'd like to speak and rent me an Escalade. That's awesome. I don't know. I mean, they're pretty sweet. So they liked this one, and they're like, they drove it because they were, you know, picking it up for the guy or whatever. And he turned to Drenda and he said, I like this. I'd like to have one. Wasn't long after that, they have a car guy that goes to their church. He said, we never told anybody. The guy calls him on the phone and says, hey, listen, the Lord told me to buy you an Escalade. What color do you want? He said, well, we really like the one that we got for the person to use, pearl white. He said, okay. So they got one, and they loved it. He said, they drew in it for a little while, and the guy called again and said, the Lord told me I was to buy you two, so I got another one for you. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, two Escalades. He said, we didn't even pay for them. He didn't know what to think. He's like, wow. And the Lord said, the double portion. He said, they went and spoke in another country, and in that country, fur was really popular. And he told Drindy, he said, you know, when I was a kid, I used to trap. I used to trap when I was a kid. And I'd get muskrat and all that, and fox and raccoon, find them even on the road, and I didn't trap them. Oh, boy. Because they meant money. You could go turn them into the fur trader and, you know, and make some extra money. He said to Drindy, he said, you know, I'd like to have a mink coat. Now, I, as a guy, I have never said that. I'm not saying that now. I'll tell you what I do want. A Starsky and Hutch Torino. That's what I want. Anyways, so he says, a mink coat. He said they got back from the trip, and on their countertop were two boxes. Guess what was inside? A men's and a women's fur coat. He said they're like $5,000 a piece. He said, I was crazy. He said, we were beside ourselves. And the Lord said, the double portion. He's like, wow. He said, you know what we did? He said, what? He said, we put them on. We went to Walmart. I mean, you can go to Walmart and you can see every kind of pajama bottom you'd ever want to see. In my mind, I have a word picture of Pastor Gary in pajama bottoms and a mink coat. Probably not a good one. I'm sorry, Pastor. That was free. But I mean, you know, and he said, we were laughing at it. We got out of the car. We got out of our Escalade and our mink coat and went into Walmart to buy some groceries. I don't think they ever did it again because they got a laugh out of it as well. Drinda got two Louis Vuitton purses, which I guess those are pretty pricey. And, you know, she just said she wanted one, and they just showed up. And so when he complained to the Lord, I don't need 15 guns, Lord, and I just don't need that. The Lord said, exactly. He said, when you come into the kingdom, you don't get what you need. You get the entire kingdom. I've never thought of it like that. I mean, let that just have space in your brain. You don't just get what you need. Did you know in heaven you have everything? My God supplies part of my need. It says all. That's exactly what he means, but we don't take the word literally. But he literally means I will supply all, not just what you need, but I'll give you more than what you need because in the kingdom you have it all. Like he told the older son, everything I have has been yours. That's from the prodigal. He told the older guy that didn't go in, all I've got is yours. I've been with you this whole time. Right. And everything that's mine is yours. The kingdom is not short or poverty stricken. This is what the Lord told him. You tell them they have it all. And I'm finally just getting this revelation. God, you're just amazing. Instead of putting him in this little box and just preaching three prayers in a poem. It isn't about the stuff, people. It's about the Father. He can give you all. And he might say, because you're a good steward, now give that there. It's not about the stuff. It's about God the Father and our ability to receive from him. I mean, recently, God gave me a 4Runner. I never made a payment on it. It was over $35,000. That was the first thing. I'm like, I remember the Lord telling me, you're never going to make a payment. So I told the guy, I'm never going to make a payment. And the guy looked at me, the salesperson, he goes, okay. But I had to prove that I could get financing. And I didn't want to prove I knew I could get financing. But I didn't want to even go through those steps. I just wanted to be up like, can I just have the, can, because I don't want to go. But I had to do all of that. But man, that witness rippled through all the people there. I told them I had to approve all that. I said, I'm never going to have to make a payment. And that person goes, okay. They both have been here to church now because I never made a payment. And what the Lord said was, I want you to be a demonstration of how good my kingdom is. I'm like, folks, that's for you. He might have used me, but it's for his glory. So I'm retraining my brain. I'm rethinking. Now I'm going to say something that I've never said before. And it's probably going to shock you, be like petting a cat backwards. But I want you to hear me before you go out of here and be like, I just can't believe that guy. Because I'm like, I don't even want to write it. See, my wife's all, what's he going to say? I don't know what he's going to say. This is what the Lord wanted me to say. I deserved it. I'm like, what'd I do to deserve that? Hang on before you make a judgment, because I'm like, God, I can't say that. Because my mind doesn't think that. And if you got your kids something, you know, when we lived on High Point Road, I bought a Bobcat 52-inch zero-turn mower. $5,200 is what I paid for that. And when we moved back here to Marion and we moved to town, we lived on the boulevard for 3.5 years, I gave that to my son. I don't remember, I was just talking to people here, you know, some people, they meant well. They're like, what'd you charge him for that? I mean, I'm like, I didn't charge him. I just gave it to him. Why? I want to represent the Father. It's my choice. Is God, he's not big enough? He's already replaced that to me. You see, in our mind, we have to, for me to get something, I have to do something to deserve it. There has to be an exchange. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. There was no exchange there except Jesus. I didn't do anything. You see, it's about the position, not the position of pastor. I'm not talking about titles. I'm talking about the position of whose you are in Christ. When you are in Christ, you and he are linked. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In him we live, we move, we have our being. God resides in you. Your spirit is connected with him. You have the mind of Christ. My identity is in him. And you have that same position if you are born again. Let me ask you this. You say, well, you deserved your four. Do you deserve to be healed? See, we look at them as separate issues all the time. Well, I can't have that. Stuff is different than healing. Did you know God is not limited to anything? To him that believes all things are possible. But we limit him. I didn't do anything. But he could heal me if he wants to. He already said he wants to. You don't have to beg for something he's already provided for. You didn't do anything for it. Jesus did. He paid the price. He came for us. And we go to the Father through him. It's already been paid. You deserve to be healed. You deserve to be prosperous. You deserve what God says. You're his kid. You deserve what he promises. You know there's so many promises in the Bible. There's like over 700 or something. It's crazy. You deserve that. Why? Because he wants to show his kingdom strong in his kids. People, you know, what happens if gas goes up? God is my provider. If gas goes up, gas goes up. What, you know, what about this? What about that? If whatever I need, I'll have. Because my God, I say my God, who's listening today? I say my God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory. I'm like, I got work to do on me. Because that's hard for me to say. I deserve that. But you know, when I give my kids a gift, I don't want them to go, Daddy, I can't take this. I want them to be like, Dad, I love you. Thank you so much. You see, but we don't see it that way, but that's the way it is. He wants to bless you. He wants to show you how good his kingdom is. But if we can't have that relationship, we can't say, hey, God, you're my father. I'm your child. We don't think we deserve that. We're going to struggle. It'll hinder receiving. Let God show himself strong in you. I am not a hireling, and neither are you. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if you're not a hireling, who are you? You know, if I was in my office and I had my door shut and one of my grandkids or one of my kids say, I need to get to my dad, nobody's going to stop them from coming in. They'd say, hey, your dad's in a meeting. If they needed to see me, they're going to come in. And you know what? I want them to because they're my kids. If there's something that important, they have every right to come and get me. I want them to get me. What does God say about you? What's the word telling you? What does he say you have? What does he say about himself? We need to renew our mind and say, God, I want that. I want what you say. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Why? Because you said I could. Not because of what's in me, except because you're in me. But you did that. That's your choice and my choice to accept it. I'm going to get rid of my stinking thinking. I've been at the enemy's camp too long. How about you? I want to take back. Remember that song? I'm going to take back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp. I want to get back what he stole from me. We have it all. We are a son or daughter of his house and a citizen of his great kingdom. You know, in the United States, if you're a legal citizen, you have rights. And you have benefits and you take advantage of those. Do the same with the kingdom of God. Find out how it works. What's it take to be a citizen? It's not that tough. It's pretty simple. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?